Children, I have some exciting news.
You are fake news.
Hello, Adelaide.
Triple M's ruined it for breakfast.
Overnight news.
Biggest drug lord since Pablo Escobar was caught on the weekend, Dits. They've been trying to get Dario or Shaga or whatever, however you pronounce it.
Right. Dario. You would not get a job at SBS.
Sorry, Dario, but you're going away for a bit of a long-term sentence. They've been tracking him for a while, but they finally got him. Biggest since Pablo Escobar.
And where's this fella from?
Oh, Colombia, I suppose.
Okay, down that way.
That's right, that neck of the woods, Dits, over there. So... Good, bad luck, Dario. Mm. All over Red Rover. Had a good run for a fair while.
Mm. What's the new lead in the Cleo Smith case, the four-year-old girl that's gone missing in Western Australia?
We've had a couple of interviews about this, and they didn't talk too much about it earlier, but someone said there was a car leaving at about 3 o'clock in the morning. They're absolutely focused in on that at the moment.
Yep.
Checking cameras, everything, that a car that left at 3, between 3 and 3.30 that morning. So that was about an hour and a half, 2 hours after they gave the little girl a drink.
Right.
So that's what they're focused on at the moment. That's the lead. They want that person driving that car or anyone in it to come forward and say, well, what'd you leave at that funny time of the night for?
Yeah, all right. Something that's dominated the press over the last week or two. I say the press. Look, it's dominated our lives really for years, but all of a sudden News Corp has jumped on in a big, big way. You'll see sometimes 4 and 6 and 8 page lift outs about net zero. Mm. It's what the whole world's focusing on. There's a summit coming up in Glasgow. It seems that ScoMo's been dragging his heels a little bit. However, he's needed the Nationals to sign off on it, and Barnaby Joyce and his crew finally have. So we're heading towards zero emissions by 2050. Is that right?
Yeah, as a country, they want us to be net zero.
Yeah.
So what that means, what sacrifices are we going to have to make? What changes to our lifestyle are we going to, what jobs is that going to impact? The cost of certain things, I guess, is going to change. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, big impact on our lives. Hey, something I've been hearing a bit of over the weekend, Roo. Mm-hmm. In fact, probably for the last week I've heard this, and there was a caller driving in this morning saying, I'm just seeing a shift with people saying, well, we're now vaccinated. What have we got in South Australia? What percentage?
62 double right. vaxxed.
Okay, so people are saying now, well, if I'm vaxxed, I don't care if you're not. And I heard one of the footballers say it last week. I reckon it was Tom McDonald from Melbourne. So what people are starting to say is open everything up, and if you don't want to be vaxxed, good on you. We're vaxxed. In other words, even if I did catch something from you, I'm double vaxxed, therefore I'll be okay. And if you're not vaxxed, that's your issue. Mm. And I just wonder if that argument's got merit.
Well, it has, but you can still get it and you can still die when you're double vaxxed. You just got a lower chance, but you can still do it. And the people who aren't vaxxed, I think, spread it around a lot more. Mm. So it's not perfect by any stretch, but you'd rather just everyone get higher ratio.
That's ideal. They had the Freedom Day over in the UK a couple of months ago, and they're started to way get up on their numbers, like, you know, tens of thousands a day. So it's kind of backfired for them over in the UK.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Melbourne and Sydney over the coming weeks, and bit of a lead for us maybe in December when we do the same thing. Hey, this bloke over in Ireland, it's not happy. He got the sacked from his work and decided to thought he'd, you know, just do a little bit of revenge to this workplace. So He let a heap of rats go in this workplace. Strange sort of idea, this one. But the 61-year-old, let a heap of rats go in this workplace. Anyway, they've done a bit of damage and everything. 6 months in the slammer for doing it.
For letting the rats out.
Yeah, who let the rats out? Well, this fella did. And he's got 6 months jail time for it. That's a bloody
extreme. I've got a question for you. Where do you go to get rats? If he thought, I'm going to let a heap of rats out at work, where do you go to collect them?
Can you buy them from, like, pet shops or something? Well, I don't know.
Anyway, 6 months in the slammer for that. That seems a bit harsh.
Mm, costly. That's what's making news around the world.
I made a bit of a mistake on the weekend.
Oh, what?
Well, I was at the Port Victoria pub, and all the rest of the Crows boys were out fishing, and me and Wayne Weed have been timed it, so... we couldn't go fishing, which was great because it was windy as.
Yeah.
They were getting tossed around out there. And we just drove straight to the pub, which is what you must do just to get out there and check out the local pubs. I listened to you and followed your advice about regional tourism.
Yep.
And we rocked up at the Port Victoria pub at 11:58 and walked in, went straight to the bar. We heard a little rumour that there was no tab at the pub.
Right.
And I said, well, I hope they've got beer. And they had beer. So we sat down and we could see the water from there. So we had the best view in Port Victoria anyway.
Yeah.
And anyway, we had a beer. And then I thought, oh, instead of, you know, paying every time I want a beer, maybe just set an account going to be easier for everyone.
Run a tab.
So hooked that up. And she said, oh, have you got a credit card? And I said, oh, actually, I don't. So I said, but, you know, I'm not going to go anywhere.
I'm
sitting here. There's no one else in the pub. There's only me waiting in the pub. So, you know, I pointed to her with crutches. I said, look, I can't exactly do a runner, can I? And she said, yeah, no, good point. So she gave me the card number one.
Right,
so
number one.
Number one. There hadn't been too many people on the, so the account. Anyway, we had lunch. We had quite a few beers. We had tea. So
it was an all-day affair.
Yeah, we didn't go anywhere else in Port Victoria.
Right.
10 hours later, I go home and forgot to pay the bill. I've woken up the next morning, rolled out of my bed in this shack, and I'm going through my pockets, trying to get my head together, ready for working out what's going on. And then I find my my card.
There's card number one.
And I've gone, oh, shit. I've done a runner and haven't paid the bill. So I go up there, and when we leave at about 9 o'clock, and she said, oh, the tills aren't open. So I can't pay the bill. Drive back to Adelaide, rang up at 12:07. Oh, can you ring me back after lunch service? I said, oh, yeah, right, no worries. So at 3 o'clock, I finally paid my bill.
This would be the biggest tab Port Victoria Hotel's ever seen.
No, it wasn't even that big.
Oh, gee. Nah. Can you imagine, just imagine someone walking out of the Alma having not paid their tab.
Oh, they get jumped.
They'd be the biggest headlock from behind. Get back in here. He'd drag back in by the hair.
You'd be concussed.
You're not going anywhere.
Rue would be behind him going, no, get him, hold it,
Yeah. 10 hours of mid-strength beer, a schnitzel at lunch, seafood platter for tea.
Very tragic story out of the world of Hollywood over the weekend, Rue. Alec Baldwin has accidentally shot and killed the cinematographer. Yeah, the camera operator on set, and injured the producer as well, I believe, or the director. This is just shocking. And I've read this morning where Alec Baldwin has actually spent time with the family as well of the deceased. It's just, I cannot believe this.
Yeah, well,
so many questions to ask.
Well, this is one thing I'd like to say from what I hear.
Yeah.
Oh. You haven't got it there, huh?
No, it's frozen,
They're saying the gun that was used to accidentally shoot the girl, they were using it for target practice and shooting with live ammunition out the back.
Yeah.
In downtime.
All right, let's find out more. Let's go to our LA correspondent, Sam Rubin. Sam, how tragic is this event?
Extraordinarily tragic. And, you know, the analogy that could be drawn is a horrific plane accident usually isn't one thing. It's the cacophony of a variety of things put together.
Exactly.
And what we're finding out here, and every day we learn more and more, it just gets worse and worse. This was not a prop gun. It was a real gun. These weren't blanks. It was a real bullet. And how does that happen when none of that is supposed to happen? Because perhaps, in part, the woman who handled the armaments was 24 years old. It was her second movie. And in a podcast, she said she didn't think she was necessarily up for the challenge, that the assistant director has been called into question for his safety practices in other movies. Mm. And the list goes on and on and on. And if this report that you're citing, which has been reported in the LA Times and elsewhere, that they were actually using this gun for target practice during off hours, I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. And one thing that will be interesting to see, Alec Baldwin as the actor, as the man who held the gun and pulled the trigger, I do not think will be held criminally liable, because another phrase you're going to hear in the discussion of this is something called a highly witnessed event. This wasn't some shooting in the middle of the night in a dark alley somewhere. This was on a movie set where there were a lot of people, camera very likely running, a lot of people saw what happened. And he was clearly told that this was a cold gun, which is movie talk for a gun with no bullets in it, with no ammunition in it. And obviously that was not the case. What could be very problematic for Alec Baldwin, besides the obvious psychological trauma, is he was one of the producers of the movie, and his production company put the film together.
Right.
So as they go over all of this, who was told when that this was not a safe environment? There are crew members who walked off the set that day because they thought it wasn't a safe environment. Did that word ever get to Alec Baldwin or his colleagues? And what, if anything, did they do about it? And if they did nothing about it, then you might well have some criminal liability.
Yep, for sure. Sam, of all the Western movies that have ever been made, of all the violent criminal movies that have ever been made, I'm stunned to learn that it is a real gun. I would have thought every gun I've ever seen in a movie, on a movie set, is actually just a prop.
Well, replicas or rubber guns are the two mostly common use. The big change that has taken place is all these fancy special effects that we see in Marvel movies and elsewhere have sort of lowered the cost of quote-unquote easy special effects. So to have the flash and the sound of gunfire is something you can add in post-production. Now you can do it easy and for far less expense than used to be the case. So what some people are saying is, why in the world did they resort to this old-fashioned, sort of antiquated technique of trying to actually have the ammunition and the live flash and the muzzle on the set? Some say that was another cost-cutting measure, that even though the special effects are cheaper, to do it this way is cheaper still. And, you know, obviously it turns out to be unbelievably costly. And I think what's going to happen from this, and we've already seen it on one big American TV series, is they're going to ban the use of this kind of material entirely, as well they should.
Sam, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Sam Rubin, our LA correspondent. Bru, you know, they talk about road rage. And it's quite rife, it's quite prevalent out there, isn't it?
Happens,
you know?
It happens.
Do you know where I get most angst? Is at the supermarket, to be honest.
What?
No, I do. People
I know you love
push
your food,
in. People that block the aisles and just don't have peripheral vision and are rude and selfish, and you're about to go to grab something off a shelf, someone barges in front of you and grabs it, you know, before you do. Or you get the people that stand, let's say they're standing in front of the pasta and they're just staring, and you sort of wait because you want to go and get some pasta as well, and they're just staring. I'm thinking, mate, make a decision, will you? Which one? You're like, it's not that hard. Do you want spaghetti? Do you want penne? Do you want, like, just grab one. And they stand, and they're blocking the whole thing with their trolley as well. So you, and they don't see you. And there's a peripheral, they just do not see you. And I think, mate, make a decision, will you?
It's like when two people run into one another, they haven't seen one another for ages. So they just stand there at the end of the aisle, blocking,
and they just
bloody,
stand there.
This is
no, you're right. And then they've just got no idea that there are people around them.
Mm.
Anyway, this is slightly different. This happened last week. I was at a supermarket, had my mask on, and I'm checking in with my phone on the QR code. And this fella barged past me and looked at me, stared at me like as if to say, you wanker. And I thought, what? So I'm doing the right thing. This bloke didn't have a mask on, didn't check in, and just walked straight in the supermarket. So, Roo, I was staring back. I was staring him down. And I'm quite serious about this. I just looked at him and thought,
what's this, Tuesday, 4:30?
I can't even remember now, but yeah, just normal run-of-the-mill part of the week. So, supermarket rage. So, anyway, our eyes locked. And
No,
I just looked. I didn't say anything, obviously, and I had my mask on.
When you're prepared to lock eyes, like,
well, I thought I'm looking and going,
you're on.
Oh, what? So no mask, mate. So
and
you're
no
just
mask intense. No masks intensify the eye lock.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's
so
just eye contact.
No mask. Didn't check in. Just walked in, grabbed a trolley, and carried on. So
it was on.
Well,
potentially could have been on.
It could, but the thing is, I couldn't let it go. So every time I saw him around the supermarket,
you couldn't let something go.
I just kept staring at him, and he kept staring back at me.
Ooh.
So it gets to the point there. Now, do I say something? Do I say, oh, what, mate, you don't have to wear a mask here. You're different, are you? And you don't have to check in like the rest of us.
Ooh.
It was just, I thought that it was
that would have
just
been a pretty good start to the argument, I would have thought.
I just thought it was a bit ordinary. Anyway,
so
I let
what,
it go.
No words spoken?
I let it go. I did the right thing.
Who looked away first?
He did. I scared. He backed down. No, he backed down.
Are you listening, supermarket man?
Weak ass.
Ring right now, 1-3-3-5.
What would you do? No, have you said anything to anybody, either of you? Or Haydos like?
Not really, no.
Sort of just yeah.
So it doesn't bother you, you just let it go?
Oh, I don't know.
The mask thing. Are we talking about masks or supermarkets?
This bloke did both.
I forget
didn't
masks
check in
all the time.
Oh, didn't you're wear annoying, Roo, because the people working there are then responsible for that. So if your bartender...
I forget masks in my own pub.
Yeah, well, then your bartender's liable for that, whoever's on duty that night.
And I'm liable.
Exactly. And
I'm like
double.
Alec Baldwin. A little bit, aren't I? Really?
You are.
If you're the producer.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
Loz, would you say something or not?
Well, if I'm working, I say something. But if I'm not working, I'm dancing, not paying
any
attention.
Dancing and carrying on with my mask.
If I've had a few shandies,
I deliberately do it. No, I refuse to deliberately do it.
Mm. I will be driving around supermarkets of Adelaide today checking.
I think that would be an amazing sort of retirement job for you, is to go around to supermarkets
he's
with a clipboard.
He's not retiring.
No, I'm just saying.
Have you just
saying,
pensioned me off now?
No, I'm just saying eventually.
Jesus. No. Brought you into aged care.
No, I mean eventually in the future, much down the line, you
if
would
the pandemic
be,
goes on for at least another, you know, 6 months.
Well, we're getting booster shots and all that.
You could
six
be like
months.
A Wild West sheriff.
Hell.
Anyway.
You checked in, boy.
Sorry, Dits, I don't mean that now.
Let's go back to a minute after he was weak and took his eyes off you and walked away.
Mm.
Take us to the
next part. I just had to let it go. But I was.
Did you bump into him again?
No, and I wanted to say something, but then I lost him in the. I think he ran off.
So you were looking for him?
Oh, sort of. I was. Well, I was. You follow
you
each other up and down the aisles, don't you?
The market,
I just kept staring at him.
Oh, two bulls.
You kept staring at him.
Yeah, well, because. You go up and down the same aisles, don't
Which
you?
And supermarket? I was just
a bit, I'm not saying.
What
I'm not,
do you
I want
mean?
To say. It was in the hills.
Was he bigger?
Oh. Yeah, he was all right. Yeah. I could have taken him down.
Was this an IGA or are we talking
No,
small
one
nook?
Of the bigger mobs.
Mutual
okay.
turf.
Okay, all right.
Did you report him to the checkout chick?
No, but he's in you know,
upstairs.
He's marked in my mind, don't worry.
Sketch.
Oh, God.
A composite sketch of him.
Loz, just so you know who you're dealing with here, he's prone to letting down people's tyres and things if they if they do the wrong thing, park too close.
Are
or,
you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't let the trolley tyre down when I was watching.
Wow.
Anyway, I've let it go.
Have you? Or are you bringing it up on radio?
No,
you've
let
been
it go.
At the supermarket every day just waiting for it. Anyway, 1-3-3-5-3 have you had supermarket?
Well, does this annoy you like it does me? If you see
that
someone
level.
That doesn't check in or just waltzes in without their mask on.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised as well that the staff at this supermarket didn't grab him.
Don't you just politely say, hey, mate, did you forget your mask or did you forget the check in? Because if you don't, you're breaking
not even
the law.
Or you're just an ignorant wanker.
Oh,
no, sorry, I didn't mean that.
He's had another crack. If you're the man out there that he did it to, ring
he
us,
probably
please.
Has some horrible medical exemption and, you know, that could be it. Good morning, guys.
How are you, Loz? What have you discovered with one of your friends?
I was just on Instagram, shock horror. I'm an addict. It's awful. And I was scanning through Nikki Glaser. She's a very funny comedian and I really like her. But she has this weird friendship with this guy. He's married and he's in all of her stories. I think they do touring together or whatever. He's a comedian too.
Right.
And I always think that's just, they're really close, you know. I don't know how I'd go being his wife.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, you know how it goes.
I know how you would be.
Yeah, you'd be already. Jealous. Anyway, I'm looking at her stories tonight and she's in the back of a cab and he's rubbing her feet. He's giving her a foot rub and the caption is...
You can't give foot rubs.
A good friend? And I don't think you can. I don't think you can give foot rubs. I just don't. I think that's crossing a line.
Foot rubs are for husbands and wives and...
Very intimate.
...people who you want to be husbands and wives
you're
with
share your smelly
one
feet,
night only or whatever.
Jam. That's got to be intimate.
If your partner was getting their foot rubbed by someone else, how would that make you feel?
I'd be like dits in a supermarket.
Yeah. Like a bull.
It'd be eyes would be on.
Right.
And then it'd be all over.
No, you can't. It's a no-go zone.
I've never rubbed anyone's feet ever.
Yeah, you can't.
Not even my partner. Never.
What?
Disgusting.
You need to give a bit more.
No, mate.
You've got
Don't worry, I made up for it.
You haven't done a foot rub. You just skip the feet.
Let's skip the feet. Go straight there.
Well, if that's foreplay, that's foul. That's not going to put me in the mood. That's going to turn
but
me
the
off.
People
what, if
they, receiving
what if he's rubbing your feet?
Don't want it. Yuck. Don't touch my feet.
Have you never had a foot rub?
Don't like it. Don't go near me.
Tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
No. Oh.
You are getting a foot rub. It's one of the best things you can ever do.
We've just said you can't cross that line, Roo. Who are you going to get
to
do it?
I'm not bloody rubbing it. Well, she's single. We can get anyone to do it. We'll get Tom,
the assistant.
We'll get Nat Fife to do it.
This is how much I don't like the foot situation. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even let Nat Fife touch my feet.
It doesn't really matter what you think. Ditch didn't want to get a tattoo and he got one.
That's right.
I'll get a tattoo on my face of a foot before I let someone touch
we'll
my feet.
We'll do that tomorrow at 8:10.
Hello, on this Monday morning, full board of callers lining up, Roo, to give Loz a foot massage.
Yeah.
They are coming from everywhere.
That's
all
really
over.
Upsetting.
If you missed it just moments ago, Loz has never had a foot massage, doesn't want one.
You sound like a girl that gives most things a crack, but you're not prepared to get your feet massage.
Everyone's got a thing, and that's my weird thing.
All right. We're going to break that thing down over the next week or two before Christmas.
It's not happening.
It will. The vault, $10,000 up for grabs just after 8 o'clock. Just got to get the combination right. Go to the listener app, get the old past combinations that have failed. Started at 1 in 24 chance of getting it. We're now 1 in 19.
That's right. We are whittling it down. The other thing we're doing each day this week, Anaconda giving us $500. Imagine spending $500 in an Anaconda store.
I love that.
The new one opening out at Manopara. And this is for things that have gone wrong on your camping trip. We've already got a couple of good ones here.
$500 too, dude.
Yeah.
You can buy a bit with $500. Go to triplem.com.au and register right now. We'll do that in about half an hour's time.
In a moment, Roo's favourite news segment on a Monday morning. Gee, we learned some incredible things. What you learnt over the weekend.
Triple Abs, Roo and Dids for breakfast. 7:06.
What did you learn?
On Triple M's Roo and Dids for breakfast.
What did you learn?
What did we learn?
Did you learn something?
What did we learn?
What did we learn?
All right, what we learned over the weekend. Who wants to go first?
Loz today.
Right.
Oh, do I?
Yep. Okay.
Wow. All right. No, I do actually. I was speaking to my cousin who, she's the sort of first port of call at an insurance company when you have a crash.
Okay.
And she has to figure out who's, like, what happened and, you know. So what she does and what a lot of the people working in the same job do, which just blew my mind, was they use little Hot Wheels.
What?
They have Hot Wheels cars.
No.
Kids' cars?
Yep. She has about five of them lined up in a truck and a blue car and a red car. And then she has a little sort of a couple of road maps, which are like, you know, T-bars or forks or whatever. And she goes, right, so you were coming from the left. Yeah. So when you're on the phone and you're like, oh, I was going down the road, the person on the other end has got a little Tonka.
No.
Beep, beep. No. Choo-choo. Yeah. And then she's like,
so they've got a group of 5-year-olds helping him out, have they?
She goes, it's so unbelievably helpful.
You're joking.
It really helps her figure it out.
Wow.
And sometimes when she's out and she sees, she goes, oh, that's a good little car. I might get that for my little set. So she's gone.
You're kidding me. This is fitting. Is this just her that does it like this or all of the.
She says it's not uncommon. Yeah, she's a bit wacky, but it really helps her visualise.
Yeah,
so.
Okay, no, good. All right,
that's good.
I like that.
That's a bit of gold there.
Something I learnt over the weekend, and you may know this, Roo, something else you can bet on. All right, in America, the Drone Racing League.
No.
Yes,
no.
The DRL in America, and now televised on NBC Sports. And similar to racing, there's a 1,400 metre, there's a 1,600 metre,
oh,
and on it
goes. Oh, come on.
Google it.
So they
have a look.
They got different length races.
The Drone Racing League, and they've all got names like the racehorses as well, and they actually race for prize money, and I think you can punt on it.
So we can't we can't pay our national netball team properly, but there's drone racing being, okay.
No, it's not here yet.
Oh.
But it's in the UK. Started in Germany, believe it or not.
Ditch is going to get the Australian rights.
Got the rights. Started in Germany. The Germans created this. There's a UK league now, which is new. But in America, NBC Sports are televising it.
Oh,
the drone racing.
Coming
league.
To a screen near you. last week we spoke about weddings and, would you worry about a wedding? Is it important to you anymore? The cost of it, would you prefer to have
put a deposit
on a house, or would you, prefer to get married? Well, I'm not sure if it's a record, but I've heard of a wedding that took place on the weekend. And they had just a small family one.
Yeah.
450 people. 9 groomsmen.
What?
Yep.
Where? Yeah.
My big fat Greek wedding.
Well, I think there was Italians and Greeks involved. That's what happens when you
But
mix.
You're not allowed to have that many people.
And look, you please, are. Yeah. If you please, we love the Greeks and Italians for this reason.
Do.
I think it's funny, but it's fantastic. Here's, the way they get into families
is just
beautiful.
Here's a look at the photo. Have a look at the photo.
Loz is checking out Ruta's phone.
It looks like a scene out of a movie. the wedding party.
I think she's stunned.
She would be stunned.
First of all, I will say beautiful bride and the dresses
groomsmen.
Are gorgeous.
9 groomsmen.
I haven't got that many mates.
Well, this is the thing. You'd want to be in the wedding party because you'd clean up.
It's like yours and Tomo's story on the weekend about not going to the birthday dinner when you've got a restriction of 20 if you're not in.
That's right.
So
hang on, throw in a couple of page boys and flower girl.
Yeah.
This is the biggest wedding party I've ever seen.
I just text my brother to find out how many courses they had. They probably had, I'd say, a minimum of 5, probably 7 courses.
Oh, isn't that incredible?
It is. So, there you go. So big weddings are still happening.
Hey, can you top that? Give us a call, 1-333-5-3, the big Italian and Greek weddings that they have. I think probably, what other nationalities have huge ones? I think the Lebanese probably have big ones, don't they?
I'm not sure.
If you can top that, 450, 9 groomsmen, even anything near that, if you've been to a big wedding, let us know. 1-333-5-3. Haydos, what did you learn over the weekend?
Jason Statham was a Commonwealth Games diver in 1990.
Yeah,
Jason Statham.
Jason Statham. Yeah, Sophie, it was in Lockstock and the Transporter.
He was a diver.
Yeah. He was a championship. Very good from what we hear.
Oh.
Commonwealth Games.
Well,
I thought
I'll
he would have been in shooting or something.
No, that's only on the streets, mate.
Have you been in a big wedding? Let's go to Seton. G'day, Joe.
Morning, fellas. How you going?
Good, thanks, Joe.
Yeah. Well, my mum and dad had over 1,000 at their wedding.
What?
Good God.
And that was at Centennial Hall at Royal Showgrounds. I wasn't there, but
Centennial Hall. That's where the Beatles play.
Bloody oath, mate. They're like the Beatles, eh?
Yeah. That would have been a big show.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, their cake had 11 tears, man.
No.
Massive, mate. A whole calabrese. Calabrese, mate. Calabrese.
When their mum and dad paid for the wedding, they had tears as well.
That is gold. We need to speak to Joe more often. Give us a ring, Joe. Tell us more gold about your family. Let's go down to Warradale. G'day, Pablo.
Good morning, mate. How's it going?
Pablo, you're the first Pablo to ring our breakfast show.
You're ringing one more time, but anyway, that's a different story.
where are you from? What nationality?
I'm Greek, my friend. I'm a Pontian Greek, which is from goes a little bit further near Turkey.
Cool.
I've been to my cousin's wedding in my home village back home in Greece.
Yeah.
And the traditional says that, you know, the wedding is going to the whole village.
The whole village. How many people?
In this particular wedding, it was roughly about 3,500 people.
3,500 people.
Pablo, how on earth do you cater for something like that? Does everyone bring something, or what normally happens?
No. The two families, they cater for everybody. There's a big speech in the middle of the
speech.
All the people, they're sitting in tables and chairs, which is everybody's bringing some of it.
Oh, it's a bit hard here, but he's saying that everyone brings a chair. And
imagine the size of the dance floor. Bloody hell.
World's biggest nut bush.
3,500. What about the bar?
There'd be a queue for the dunny.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Pablo and Joe, we need to hear more
fantastic.
From you boys. That is unbelievable. Well, perhaps this little 450 wedding with 9 groomsmen is nothing, really. They're not even having a crack.
Celebrities.
Kim Kardashian is back on the dating scene.
Influencers.
Instagram, Triple M Adelaide page, whatever that means.
He's got his ear to the ground.
Got a bit of celebrity news for you.
It's time for Chris Dittmar's...
OMG!
Celebrity news.
Make a cup of tea, get yourself comfortable. I've got plenty here for
really
you. Celeb goss. Oh, where okay. do I start? Kylie Minogue has announced that she's shifting back to Australia. She's on her
I
way
love
home.
This.
Where has right. she been?
Living in London for many, many years.
20-odd.
Anyway, she's coming home. She commented on the weekend about when she first met Michael Hutchence. And you know they had a steamy relationship. Yeah. It's not an affair. It was a full-on relationship.
Yeah.
Anyway, it turns out the first time she met him at a party, she was going out with Jason Donovan. Michael has just swept her off her feet. She said, I knew straight away. Anyway, how's this? The first thing he said to her. What? Right, the absolute first thing he said,
Is this radio safe? Or?
I don't know what we should do first, have lunch or have sex.
Oh.
That was his opening line to Kylie.
You'd have to be pretty cool to pull that off.
And this song he wrote for Kylie.
Really?
Suicide Lawn, big song for INXS. It's but all about Kylie.
That's you could look at that a few ways.
Yeah, I know.
You?
Exactly. Yeah. Julia Roberts is in Australia filming a movie in Sydney with George Clooney. Two massive names. How's this? She's staying in Lachie Murdoch's house. $56 million pad at Invercargill Close. That's where she shacked up just to get herself comfortable pre-filming.
Wow.
OMG.
Should be able to do that in a $56 million pad.
We were just talking about weddings. You don't want to be invited to Paris Hilton's wedding, and I'll tell you why. You know when they do the, is it called the marriage registry, Loz?
Yes.
You know, they say, could you go down to DJ's in Rundle Mall? Because I want, you know, and on the list you pick out something.
Yeah, there's always ridiculous things on there, like a $20,000 thing.
Well, I've just had a look at the list for Paris Hilton. You don't want to be going to this wedding. She wants a picture frame that's $3,200.
OMG!
She wants a vase that's $4,885.
Oh.
And they're the cheap items. That's where it starts.
What about toasters and things?
No, bugger that. No.
She's got a toaster.
Like she gets her own chef.
Surely you're that rich, you don't ask for gifts. Because it's just like buying
this is
gift.
The registry.
Yeah, but buying a gift for someone who has everything, it's just impossible.
All right.
Awful.
Daniel Ricciardo, our big Formula One driver who's driving as we speak in Texas in the Formula One Grand Prix. I'm going to take you back to the 1980s, this champion in the world of Formula One.
There he is with the checkered flag. Watch his technique of Gerhard Berger, who in spite of having a terrible practice with illness has won for the second time in two Grand Prix.
Daniel Ricciardo.
Daniel Ricciardo is dating Gerhard Berger's daughter, Heidi Berger.
OMG.
Good bloodlines.
There you go. So they would no doubt produce a very good Formula One driver. And just finally...
You wouldn't want to give them a toy car for a second birthday.
No. You know that Porsche and Becks are worth hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars,
Billionaire, isn't he?
Billionaires. He's just signed. How's this for his latest deal? Now, let's face it, Becks hasn't done anything for a long, long time.
No.
Still
but
clearly hot property.
He's David Beckham, though.
Over the weekend, he signed a deal for £277 million.
OMG!
Let's have a listen to him.
Oh, listen to his voice.
Because I felt that I needed a new challenge. Yeah. I played for Manchester United for 14 years.
Yeah, 13, 14 years.
You better go back to solitaire and do your contract for your ambassador.
I know. So he's the ambassador for the World Cup, as if you need to sell the World Cup of soccer.
David, sign another contract. £277
million he signed for. That's my celebrity
giddy
gossip.
Up. Good there stuff go. There, Dits.
On Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, it's time for the Anaconda Camping Horror Stories.
Anaconda Mono Para Grand Opening Sale is on Saturday, October 30.
How good is this? Each day this week, a $500 Anaconda voucher. Anaconda Manopara Grand Opening Sale is on this Saturday coming up. So head down for the big mega deals. But Anaconda, $500 to spend.
Oh, great stuff. There's got to be, the phones are going to go nuts with this. And our website might crash with all the applicants here because it does. Things go wrong when you go camping, when you go to the great outdoors. We're not all great at it, that's right. For sure. And even the ones that are good make mistakes from time to time.
Yeah. Parkinson, the fearsome opening bowler for South Australia years ago, said to me, bring the kids up one weekend and we'll go water skiing. And we got there, jumped in the boat, and he turned the key to start the boat and whoosh, up in flames. So we all had to dive sideways into the Murray River. And as you know, I can't swim. The boat absolutely up in flames, gone.
Can't swim, but you're going on these boats.
Well, I did have a life jacket on,
God.
But
stressful.
So that was a disaster.
Well, on the Auto Masters text line 0488 51047, doesn't every boating outing for Dits turn shocking from Scotty from West Lakes?
Yeah.
Correct. There you go. Right. That was before you told that story.
I told one the other day about my friend who pooed behind a tree and the dog that belonged to the man she was camping with. Yeah, Rover rolled in it. The dog wasn't really called Rover, I will say. But
Right.
I had a couple of mates who had a fairly large Friday night and then went to put the boat in on Saturday morning and probably still under the influence a little bit by that time, but pulled up at the service station. Had the boat behind and, you know, what you like when you're rusty the next morning, you're sort of half asleep, half awake. He put the petrol thing into the rod holder and put 120 litres of petrol in the bottom of his boat.
No.
And my mate said, geez, you got a bloody big fuel tank on this new boat, Andy. And he goes, yeah. And then he sort of started smelling it and then obviously realised what he'd done.
How do you deal with that? Do you siphon
The worst thing is then you have to fill up your petrol tank as well. So it's been about $400 before he got out on the water. Yeah, you have to go and dump it somewhere.
Oh, no.
God.
So that wasn't a good start to the fishing trip. 1-333-53. Let's take some calls on horror outdoor events. And Dits, just say that prize again, a $500 voucher. Yeah. Where?
Anaconda. Every day this week, $500 Anaconda voucher. And just a reminder, go to the grand opening sale if you need some outdoor equipment. That's this Saturday at the grand new opening of the Munnoparra Anaconda store.
On Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, it's time for the Anaconda Camping Horror Stories.
Anaconda Munnoparra grand opening sale is on Saturday, October 30.
Well, $500 per day to spend at Anaconda this week with your bad camping, fishing, outdoor stories.
Oh, it's awesome. Let's go to Gillies Plains. Steve, tell us about your story.
G'day, gents. How you going?
Yeah, good Stephen.
Me and the missus went to Ardrossan a couple of years ago, fishing out in the boat. No one else around. We were up pretty late. And the boat battery kind of went flat, so we rode back to shore near the sail thingies there in Ardrossan.
Yeah.
Went back to the car, got the spare battery that runs my car fridge. By the time I got back to the boat, the tide had gone back out, so my boat was stuck on the beach for 2 days.
Oh, no.
At least your boat didn't float away. We went on a trip once and pulled the tinny out. We're all from the river. And we just put a rock on the rope. We'd had a few beers, and then we come back the next morning. Tinny gone.
Port Wollunga, beautiful part of South Australia. Simone.
Gorgeous. Yes, hi. How you going, guys?
Good, Simone.
What happened to you?
Well, we went camping in the McDonald's Ranges, and it was getting a bit late in the day, so we thought, we'll shoot into Alice and we'll get a Coles cooked chicken for dinner and some salad. Anyway, we got back to our camp, we were sort of setting up, and we had the chicken sitting on a table, and we could hear this rustling in the bushes, and we turned around, all of a sudden this dingo come flying through and stole our Coles cooked chicken.
Dingo stole my chicken.
No. Oh,
gee. No. Blessed the salad, but took the chicken.
Come on.
The worst part, I only like the legs as well. So.
Can I just say on the back of this story, the dingo didn't do it,
right? Oh, who knows?
Good on you, Simone. Oh, this is great. We're getting some good stories here.
I reckon I could have a full board with myself all week after the things we've got up to, but we will. We're going to do this every day. Let's go to Renown Park. G'day, Gino. Tell us your story.
How you doing, guys? Yeah, look, listen, we were fishing off the 5 Mile Reef off of Glenelg, and we're going for snapper. And it's quite deep there. And we had some lines up, or some rods off the back and a line on the side. And all of a sudden, the one on the side, the line, the hand line, just flew straight up into the air. And it was, my brother was sitting there, so he grabbed it. And as he grabbed it, he accidentally wrapped around his wrist.
Fishing line.
Yeah, the fishing line. Because it was about a 100-pound line there because we were going for the real big snappers. And then because there's a bit of water in the boat, he slipped and he sort of started falling into the water because it's wrapped around his wrist.
Yes.
And so my mate and I quickly grab him and I said, what the hell can that be? And my mate goes, well, it's either a stingray or a shark. And I said, how are you going to tell the difference? He goes, well, if the line starts going up and you start seeing it coming to the surface, it's a shark. And Oh, lo and behold, guess what happened? The line started going up. I said, oh, no. And he's hanging out, my brother. We're grabbing him around the race.
Oh, my God.
So we're trying to grab him. We're slipping because the water's going there. All of a sudden, the boat starts going sideways. It starts pulling the whole lot of us.
Oh, my God.
And I'm there, come on, guys, what do we do? And he said, quick, grab the knife. So we both got him. Who's going to grab the knife? Because I couldn't hold him because my brother's over at the thing. So all of a sudden, my mate just quickly jumps, grabs it, slices the line, and off it goes.
Gee, that would be scary. That's horrific. That sounds like a massive shark is on the end of that.
Oh, my God.
Pulling the boat.
His hand could have gone with the line around it.
Lost it. Yep, right. Who's next, Roy?
Let's go to Henley Beach. G'day, Jared. What's your horror camping story?
How are you, fellas? We were living up in Darwin for a few years, and a couple of me lads come up for a fishing trip and took the old tinny out into the croc-infested waters around Elizabeth River. And, yeah, before we knew it, we'd bagged out on Goldie, Trevally, GT, a few mud crabs, and as we're going to pull in the crab pots, our engine decided to cark it, and we sat there through sunset, pretty much croc bait. Lucky one fella was coming up through the creek and he ended up towing us in, but didn't realise that our time was limited because we had a slow leak in the boat. So probably an hour away from becoming croc bait, mate.
Oh,
so,
my God.
No, that's not
very
fun.
Very lucky.
Good
very
on you,
lucky.
Jared. Yep. That is a horror story.
Right. Let's go to Henley Beach. Cherie, tell us your horror camping story.
Oh, good morning. Yes, a couple of years ago, my family and I headed off to the Flinders Ranges for our first camping trip with the kids and having a beautiful fire, a glass of red wine, and I felt a little bit of a sting on my calf. So I went, oh, a bit weird. So I went and washed my leg and tried to calm it down. Came back to Adelaide a couple of days later. I just happened to be at a funeral and one of the nurses there said to me, you've got something really wrong with your leg. And I said, yeah, I know, I've got a bit of a rash that's really quite sore. She said, I think you'd better go to the doctor. So I did. And he said, where have you been? And I said, oh, I've just been to the Flinders Ranges. He said, you've been bitten by a trapdoor spider. It was very, very painful, a rash all the way, because the rash had sort of started small and ended up all the way down my calf.
Oh.
And I ended up having to have two courses of antibiotics.
Really?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was a very unexpected.
Is that your last camping trip as well, as your first one?
Well, I haven't been since, but I was just actually at Anaconda yesterday to get a beach trolley, and I picked up the catalogue, and I thought, gee, this tent's really nice. So looking at maybe getting a tent and trying it for a second time.
Just get a spider-proof tent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, good on you, Cherie. Righto, we need to pick a winner. Who did you like?
Oh, gee, I thought Cherie was pretty good. What about the fisherman?
I like the dingo.
I like the dingo.
Oh, the dingo
too.
Stole my chicken.
Yeah. But no, we're all just thinking out aloud.
I don't know.
I'm going for the shark.
Oh, you're going for the shark?
Gino.
You reckon?
You're going for Gino.
I like
nearly
the shark.
Pulled the boat
yep.
sideways
pulled
into the water.
Around, pulled him in the water.
Righto, Gino, you've got the $500 voucher to go to Anaconda.
Congratulations, Gino. Well done, mate.
Thanks, my guys.
Good on you, mate.
No worries.
You'll get some good gear there. And as I said, the new store at Munnopara, big grand opening this Saturday. Big deals.
Every day this week, we give away $500. So tell your mates, we're going to take calls every day.
And they're all good stories. There were no bad ones. They were great.
I like the crocodile one too.
Did you?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was singling.
Oh, were you?
Oh, sorry. Oh, we overruled you. Sorry, Loz.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
You pick tomorrow's winner.
Okay.
We're playing charades. I just thought that was a shark.
Animal.
If you could.
If you could.
Yeah, sorry.
That's all right.
You can speak into the microphone too. You can just say, hey, the croc story.
But I didn't. No, I didn't want to. I don't know how you guys like
waving
to
your arms at me.
Well, because we've got Hayden over there doing bloody sign language all morning. I thought maybe for just, you know, we'd do a behind the scenes.
Sorry about that.
Let's
that's
move
all
on.
Right.
104.7 Triple M's $10,000 vault.
$10,000. It's four digits. Get them in the right order. Now, on our listener app, we've been putting up the combinations that have already been used. So hopefully everyone's tuning in and looking at those.
Yeah, done the research. Let's head to Clove Valley Park. G'day, Leslie.
Oh, hello.
You're a bit nervous,
Leslie.
Les?
Good morning. Yeah, very. Of course.
Have you done your research?
I've been listening here and there, but no, I haven't.
Okay.
I'm just winging it, really.
Give us the four digits in the correct order. What do you think it is?
8951.
8, 9, 5, 1.
Okay. 8, 9, 5, 1.
Hasn't been $10,000.
Pin. Incorrect.
Oh! Bad luck,
sorry,
Leslie.
No, nope, she's gone. All right. We'll do it again tomorrow. So one in 18 chances now. We're down to
Triple M.
Ladies.
Delving deep inside the mystery and wonder of the female mind.
The women run the country.
It's ruined its angels.
The angels are with us. We've got Mel, the previous button pusher. She's back with us. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning. I'm just over here with Hato checking out how he's going.
Good on you. Yeah. Sophia from the newsroom. Good morning, Sophia.
Good morning, guys.
And Loz. Loz, what's the topic today?
The topic today is exes. Ooh. So I feel like everyone, you know, has an ex. Mm. Most people do anyway. Yeah. And when you get into a relationship with someone, they most likely will have a past and an ex, and sometimes they will still want to catch up for coffee. How do you guys feel about that?
That's a no-no for me.
Really?
No. Well, me and my partner got together quite young, so we don't really have exes per se, but no. Absolutely not. You've moved on to better. Why do you got to go back there?
Yeah,
no,
that's
right.
Yeah, okay, I understand.
When you've got the golden gem, why do you need to go there?
Possessive Sophia.
Yeah, you said the same thing.
Come on.
Did say the same thing off air. Smack you said, himself, I don't understand.
You're going to run for a hit. There you
go. What about you, Mel?
No, I'm definitely not someone who would want to be friends with any of my exes. I broke up with them for good reasons.
Yeah.
Or was dumped probably for fairly good reasons. And, you know, half and half, I'm not perfect. Why do you think I've moved around the country my entire life? I've left devastated men in my wake. I don't need to know them. I don't really understand why you'd go back there. And if my partner were to say I was catching up with, you know, an ex for coffee.
Yeah.
That'd just send all sorts of alarm bells ringing.
That'd be the big thing there.
Yeah, I would not be that.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why you'd want to revisit it.
All right.
Do you think differently?
No. I think I'm on the same page.
You don't always leave on bad terms though, do you?
Yeah, true. Sometimes you grow apart, but you don't dislike each other. And there's nothing threatening about your vibe anymore, you know? You're not really into them that way anymore. But you would like to see how they're going.
Well, just stalk them on social media like everyone else.
Is there a reason why you brought this topic up?
Jared, the producer.
No. He's making the coffee.
Yeah, he's making the coffee. He's not here to defend himself. No, I have been the ex that someone caught up with. And I thought it was fine. I thought we were all hunky-dory, but she didn't know about it.
And then I was turned into the
Scarlet Woman, you know, like it was awful. So not everyone's okay with it. I think it depends on like how their relationship ended. If they, like I said, grew apart, but if they've got this sort of electric, you know, tantric chemistry and, you know, we couldn't be together because, you know, oceans between us or whatever. And,
Stink.
Yeah. Then I'd be like, absolutely not.
I think social media can be dangerous as well because something can have ended and normally, you know, before everyone was on Facebook, it would just stay well in the past quite easily. Sure. But now you have a few rosés and then you look and you go, why did that have to end? Maybe I should get in contact.
I'm going to text him.
Danny, get worried.
Blame the rosé.
You wouldn't want Danny catching up with a nanny or anything, would you?
The gorgeous nanny. No, they don't catch up alone.
This was the Venezuelan nanny, wasn't it? She was
absolutely stunning, but she did a great job.
Did you have a hot nanny?
We had the hottest nanny you've ever seen.
That is a rule.
Became never known have as a hot Danny nanny. And the nanny on
if
our
I,
show.
Yeah. If I have a nanny ever, there'll be some old woman called Helga with warts.
No teeth.
No teeth. I push the children to bed.
Yeah. You know, like, I know, I made a mistake there.
Thanks, angels. Something very, very tragic. You would have read about this and heard about it over the weekend. Alec Baldwin has tragically shot dead a cinematographer on the film. The film is called Rust. Earlier this morning, we crossed to Hollywood, to LA, to our reporter, Sam Rubin.
It just gets worse and worse. This was not a prop gun. It was a real gun. These weren't blanks. It was a real bullet. The woman who handled the armaments was 24 years old. It was her second movie. And in a podcast, she said she didn't think she was necessarily up for the challenge, that the assistant director has been called into question for his safety practices in other movies.
Now, he's talking about the armorist. Yeah, the armorist. We've actually got a grape from her as well. This is Hannah Reid.
I just finished up working on The Old Way with Nicolas Cage, his very first Western. It was also my first time being head armor. You know, I was really nervous about it at first, and I almost didn't take the job because I wasn't sure if I was ready.
Now, to be fair, that's prior to this incident. So she was talking on a podcast last week about her previous movie, but she sounds inexperienced.
She didn't even know she could do the job.
But this whole... I mean, the industry as a whole, but particularly this movie set was just rife with mismanagement, and the people working on the set, the crew, were on strike. So the people working on set that day weren't even the normal crew. They were a substitute crew who were sent in when the unions came in and said these conditions are unworkable, they go against union policy. So all of the normal crew were on strike because it was already such an awful environment. And then this crew came in, there was mismanagement. The assistant director, who had been previously complained about many, many times for... disregarding safety, handed Alec the gun. So it came from his hands. So she checked it through, apparently, Hannah, and then it went into his hands, and then it was given to Alec. But
I asked the question earlier this morning to Sam Rubin. I would have thought that every gun we've ever seen in a movie or Western, whatever, was just a replica or a plastic lookalike. Clearly not.
No, and it's unnecessary.
Or they've only got bloody...
Blanks. But even blanks can be dangerous. And
but I'm just stunned that this can happen. When you talk about the work conditions, what we do know is it's a very low budget film.
Yes.
Tell us about the living conditions that you were commenting on.
So the crew, and this is not uncommon, were working 15 to 18 hour days, which is insanity. And they were told that they were going to be given a hotel in that community, so they wouldn't have to drive very far. And then once they arrived on set, that was reneged, and they were then having to drive 2 hours to and from set every day. So they were getting about an hour's sleep, and it's 2 hours sleep. And because it's low budget, and this is just it's very much an industry that needs a lot of reworking, but they stormed off set, which you understand completely.
Sounds like a complete balls up, and whoever's in charge and allowed it all to happen, they're all going to be liable.
Alec Baldwin's company was producing it. So even though him firing the gun was an accident, he was in charge in a way. So
what Sam Rubin said at the start, generally accidents like this are a combination of a lot of mismanagement, a lot of errors along the way, and that's what this sounds like to me.
Gee, I had a look, and apparently with replica guns, they're meant to be reboard, so real bullets that actually fire are either too big or too small for the chamber.
Yeah, but they weren't. It wasn't even a replica gun because they were using it for target practice.
Yeah, exactly.
This is how ridiculous the whole thing is.
All right, let's hear some more from Sam Rubin.
And he was clearly told that this was a cold gun, which is movie talk for a gun with no bullets in it, with no ammunition in it. And obviously that was not the case. What could be very problematic for Alec Baldwin, besides the obvious psychological trauma, is he was one of the producers of the movie, and his production company put the film together.
Right.
So as they go over all of this, who was told when that this was not a safe environment? There are crew members who walked off the set that day because they thought it wasn't a safe environment. Did that word ever get to Alec Baldwin or his colleagues? And what, if anything, did they do about it? And if they did nothing about it, then you might well have some criminal liability.
Yep, they're in the pulp.
There's no way he didn't know that a bunch of people walked off set. If his production company was... I have a feeling that this industry is very much a tough, cutthroat thing where if you can't hack it, you know, whatever, we keep going until we finish. And I think that I can see Alec Baldwin being just sort of a bit of a hard ass and saying, let's keep going. And it's all just completely backfired.
Well, and if you're using a gun for target practice outside in the ad breaks or whatever they have, you do hear that. You do hear guns going off and you go, what the hell is that? You're not allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that didn't happen.
Well, I reckon there'll be some changes moving forward.
For sure.